Our plans really are to transform enterprises. Our goal is to give those humans back the number one most important commodity for themselves and their business, which is their time.
Welcome to AI for Pharma Growth, the podcast from pioneering pharma artificial intelligence entrepreneur, Dr. Andre Bates. This show aims to demystify AI for all those in biopharma, from startup biotech right through to big pharma. Each episode focuses on all things AI and future tech related to help pharma execs to navigate through the and benefit from the sometimes confusing but magical world of AI-powered tools to grow and get real-world results.
Today's episode is how to get artificial intelligence to help you schedule your meetings effortlessly. Many people who've interacted with me over the years have met my AI assistant, Amy. Sadly, she's retired, i.e. the company was sold and the new company won't let her work for anyone. So I was left without an AI assistant for some time now. I've tried many options that were okay, but none really lived up to Amy. Until now, I have found her replacement. My guest today is Maddie Bell, who is the co-founder of Scheduler.ai, and she will tell us how she and her team created an AI-powered virtual assistant to take over meeting scheduling. Thank you for coming on the show, Maddie. I'm just so impressed with Scheduler.
Thank you so much. It's wonderful to be here.
So can you tell us a little bit about your background and how you really started the thought of creating Scheduler.ai and how it came into being?
Absolutely. So we started the company almost 3 years ago, so before the AI boom. And I always like to say we were actually kind of entrepreneurs by accident. So my husband and I spent pretty much all of our careers prior to that point in what the startup world calls big co, so big Fortune 50 companies. And I was actually at a company, Procter & Gamble. So I was running billion-dollar brands and had a big team, absolutely loved it. And my husband was the vice president of data engineering at Nielsen, so one of the U.S.'s largest analytics companies. And we loved it. We loved running big teams, big businesses, but life happened. And so we were dual career. We ended up having three young kiddos who we love. We had a dog. And one day we were driving home and I looked at my husband and I said, oh my goodness. By the time we schedule anything as dual working busy parents, whether that's a work meeting or an appointment or a social event for our children, or gosh, forget us trying to get together with friends, right? If we schedule anything, it was a nightmare. And I looked at him and I said, gosh, we should just be able to add the people we want to schedule time with to a chat, describe exactly what we want to schedule. Like, let's find an hour to meet next week. And something somewhere should just coordinate the time and say, this is when you're all free. And that's where it started. And several weeks later, my husband couldn't get the idea out of his head. He just couldn't let it go. And he said, I know I can build this. I want to go build this. So during COVID on date night, we decided to put together a slide. We took it to a venture accelerator. We applied and they called us back that night. And my husband quit his job the next day. And we set out to enable effortless scheduling everywhere messages are sent. And that's kind of where we got our start.
It's very, very cool. And how long did it take to get version one out the door?
You know, it took a while. So my husband was so lucky that his number two machine learning engineer with 12 years experience decided to also leave Nielsen and come with him. And they built for about a year and a half to really build this from kind of almost a chatbot into a full AI assistant. Yeah. But it took some time for sure.
Wow. And so in a way, your original vision was really basically to just have completely effortless scheduling without needing a human involved in the loop, essentially.
Yeah.
So there's many.
Oh, no, you got it. And I think, you know, what started as a very, you know, just personal, social, wanting to schedule all the different facets of life, whether it's work or personal, over time, as we brought our assistant to the market, it really developed into more of a business solution. And we realized that the companies that we worked for could really benefit. And so I think our original vision just kind of started to grow and expand into a true enterprise platform from there. Yeah.
It's very cool. And in pharma right now, you know, everyone, most pharma companies are gearing up for this big patent cliff that's happening in a few years' time, which is going to be a big challenge. And some companies I know have already laid off all their admins, and that's caused all sorts of scheduling issues when people are trying to get meetings in and trying to, you know, find the person's details. So yeah, it's very timely for pharma at least, but also for me because of Amy retiring. It's hard when your AI retires. So one of the things I want to ask, you know, I remember with driverless cars and lots of different AIs that get put out there that people kind of test them in these random ways. Like, you know, teenage boys would be driving at the driverless car to see what happened. And even with some of the robots that have been put on, the chatbots have been put on Twitter, you know, people really taunt them and really try and terrorize them a bit to test them. Have you found anyone trying to do any kind of weird, asking for really weird scheduling requests just to test?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. it's funny, right? Because AI has really hit mainstream. And all of a sudden, people are like, wow, we can do all of these things with this technology that we could never do before. And we like to remind them, we've created AI, not magic. Right. So when people say, how do you see people's calendars that don't sign up? We don't. And that's OK. Right. Because our AI is designed to act like a human admin, like an administrator.
Yeah.
Right. So if they don't know what the other person's calendar looks like, you ask. Right. So there's there's heuristics that we build into it. And absolutely, people try to see how far the AI can go. But that's actually the cool part, because when people do that, we learn as builders, and we're able to take all of those experiences and continue to enhance and evolve our AI's ability to the point where, you know, when people first started these crazy requests, I'm sure my AI just wanted to go home and, you know, sit in a corner and say, I can't do this. Right. And now we see it being, you know, so much more evolved and be like, okay, no problem. It's funny. It's almost like training a puppy, right?
Sure.
You know, you start off and you're like, no, I peed on the carpet. But now, right, we've spent all that time. You have your kind of police dog that can do all the tricks. And when you see it perform, it's really cool as a builder and a founder to say, man, like it is now fulfilling that role. And scheduling is kind of funny, right? Because it sounds pretty simple, but when you actually look at it, the average employee at a company is wasting about 4 hours a week scheduling meetings. And that's because people are busy, platforms are dispersed, time zones are a factor, rescheduling is a nightmare, and it all adds up. So I think, you know, the AI has to be able to handle all of that. And part of getting really good at that is by starting out confused, right? You have to start out confused to learn. And so I think I'm actually thankful for all of those people that threw a lot at it early, because it helped us really learn and evolve and create a great product.
What kind of things did they throw at it, just out of curiosity?
Oh, gosh. You know, hey, you know, one person said, my friend, I was talking to my friend yesterday, and we're supposed to meet tomorrow, but then I don't want to meet tomorrow. I actually want to meet next week. And, you know what, never mind. I have my grandmother's birthday, so make sure you schedule for Friday. You know, and the poor AI is like, so you want me to schedule your birthday party for your grandmother on Friday? I think it was things like that. Some people like to schedule colorful meetings just to be silly. So we saw some of those. We said, okay. But other than that, those were kind of the silliest probably.
What about other languages? Do you handle other languages other than English at this point?
I see us evolving there, but one thing I definitely think about AI right now is you have general purpose AI, and it can do a lot of things 80% of the way there.
Yeah.
But when it comes to scheduling, it needs to be 100%, right? And so we found that focus on making sure that we understand the nuances, even just in one language, is really, really important, and to not pass one step until you've really nailed it. You know, things like European dates, months and dates are opposite, right, of US or time zones. Some places change their time zones, some places don't. And so we've spent a lot of time making sure that we really nail one use case. And I think what we'd want to see is that just really being slam dunk in every way before we started to expand languages. But I do see us doing it one day for sure. Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. And then even within English, different countries have slightly different cultures. So I'm just wondering, has that caused any cultural bias, caused any challenges for you?
You know, it's funny because there's cultural bias. There's also corporate bias, right? Every company operates differently. And it's not even bias. It's just how people operate.
Things. The culture.
Culture. So some companies have open calendars where everyone in the organization can see everyone's calendar. And some companies that would be terrible and they don't. And so what we've tried to create is a co-pilot, truly an AI assistant that acts as a co-pilot and seeks direction from its person in charge. Right. Mm-hmm. And so I think that is one of the big strengths of Scheduler, is that it will do as much as it can without engaging the meeting organizer or the person in charge. But if it needs to, we've developed really streamlined, easy ways for our AI to go back and ask for permission or ask for clarity. And I think that's where some of those nuances, those cultural nuances, get massaged out. It's just like if you brought a human admin into your organization, you would want to train that admin on how to operate. And we've spent a lot of time ensuring that each person who uses Scheduler actually has the ability to train Scheduler on the words and phrases and meetings that they schedule so that it is able to navigate that organization. So for me, I think it's a co-pilot that learns, you know, from the user, and that's what helps us handle some of those different cultural differences.
And how did you train it to handle things that it wasn't originally trained on? Was that from a lot of times getting the similar sorts of things, or like, you know, for example, the grandmother's thing?
Yes. You know, it's funny. A lot of people think AI is just interpretation of language, which it is. You know, it needs to understand what the person wants. But what we call usable AI, right? AI that comes into your organization and completes tasks, not only needs to understand what you say, but it also needs to understand what to go do. Yes. Like, okay, you want a meeting next Friday. I need to work with Microsoft and Outlook and Zoom, and I need to now execute these workflows. And so what we've found is really by monitoring every single meeting that we schedule and making sure it's smooth, you're able to help the AI, whether it was, hey, that was an interpretation misunderstanding. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's go get more training data and better prompt and you know, update our model training. Okay, that's one. But hey, you know, it allowed someone to reschedule who was not the meeting organizer and was not outside the organization. Next time we need to make sure that's not possible. So I think all of these interactions are handled a bit differently when it comes to training. And the third piece that we use to train is creating what we call insurance policies. So for example, sometimes people switch email addresses when they're scheduling. So we create links that make it so it knows when you're with one or with the other, or Nice. You know, there's just all kinds of things that you can do to help people help themselves. And so those would be the three areas. We work on the interpretation, we work on the rules and classifications of what needs to happen. And we also create levels of, call it, safety net that will correct an issue if they see it and if it's possible to correct.
And I guess now that you're 3 years in, those kind of things happen less and less because you've covered pretty much most of the things that happen.
Yes. They happen less and less, but the cool thing is that allows you to integrate more and more capability, right? Yeah. So as you solidify and stabilize one ability, you can start to expand the AI's ability to do more things, which is super fun.
Well, that leads me into a question about intelligent agents. You know, do you see them continuing to be vertical where they are just doing that one thing, or do you see them expanding more in a horizontal way and taking on additional roles outside of scheduling?
I mean, I absolutely see the horizontal play coming, right? Even as we think about scheduler, right? You will see us continue to ladder capabilities into the agent so that it can truly schedule anything you want to schedule, right? Think, now I need a doctor's appointment. Well, now I need a haircut. Well, now I do need to book that room reservation or that dinner reservation, or I do need those meeting notes and the follow-ups. Like, I absolutely see us evolving. I think the key is that, and I think some will evolve faster than others. I do think some companies will take a horizontal approach out of the gate.
Yeah.
I think what we've kind of decided and found was, it goes back to kind of what I said before. It is a process, and doing the work to train your AI agent to really nail each use case. Once you've done that, that AI is able to do that at scale over and over, and you can move to step two, and you're going to delight users that way, right? Yeah. If you race too far too fast and you spread your AI too thin over too many tasks, it's gonna fail. It's going to falter, and people expect a human experience. They expect... Yeah. They have a huge expectation. So my bias and our bias has been, we will do it, but we will do it step by step, ensuring great customer experience along the way. And we won't go to the next step until we've really won the step we're on. I think people will end up disappointed if they have too many features, but the features themselves don't have the depth to work well.
Yeah. With Amy and Andrew, her brother, and Fred from Fireflies, that I have my meeting note taker, have you ever thought of giving Scheduler a human name?
We have, and we offer some customization to the enterprises that we work with, so that's a premium option. What we have not done, though, yet, is really mask Scheduler as a human. And the reason for that is, we've noticed that, especially with AI right now, there is a drive for transparency, for clarity. And we really support that. We think their use of responsible AI is a game changer, right? But it has to be used responsibly. And so we don't want anyone thinking that Scheduler is a human, because it's not. You know, it's a tool, it's a helper, it's an AI agent, it's all those things. And we want it to feel like you're able to work in a human-like experience. So if we give it a name at some point, that's awesome, it's fun. But what we will not do is try to convince anybody that Scheduler is in fact a human, because once again, it's AI. And we want people to have the right expectations and transparency and relationship with AI that makes them excited. So that's a choice that we've made on that one.
I do remember with Amy, people always thought she was human. It was amazing because she was so human-like in that, you know, she would schedule and I wouldn't even see all the emails she would send to other people asking about their schedule and time and everything. And then I remember I was doing a project with Takeda in Singapore, and the guy said to me, "Don't forget, could you thank Amy for me?" I said, "Sure, I can thank her, but she's not human. She's a bot." And he was like, "Oh my God, I've been thinking she was human all this time." So it is amazing how, you know, it didn't occur to me that people wouldn't realize, but it is true that many times they didn't.
Yeah. And like I said, I think having a human experience is super fun, and I'm sure we'll try it. We just want to make sure that with AI being such a big topic right now, right? Yeah. And everyone knows it and everybody has different opinions. We yeah. wanted to kind of just be bold and proud that, you know, Scheduler is AI.
Yeah. And what are your plans as you progress? Where do you see Scheduler going?
You know, I think our plans really are to transform enterprises. So I think, mm-hmm. you know, as a founder, as a business leader, you know, I believe that AI is going to change the world of business for sure. But at the heart of every business, success is going to come from its people, its mm-hmm. human people. And our goal is to give those humans back the number one most important commodity for themselves and their business, which is their time. So, you know, our number one goal is to allow enterprises to collaborate seamlessly internally and externally so that those employees can focus on the most important human level business objectives that matter. Because the reality is today people can bring on a scheduling assistant that saves them 4 hours a week that they can put towards their business or put towards time with their family or put towards anything else. And I think that to me is really important. I think the second thing to us as founders that's important is we've seen the world change to be a global, diverse, flexible workforce, right? People are in the office, they're not in the office. And allowing people to set their working preferences is great, but they still have to be able to collaborate with broad, diverse groups to achieve business results. And so because Scheduler is able to understand when and how everybody wants to work, and because it's able to navigate the time zones, the organizations, I think it could really unlock a level of work flexibility and collaboration that the world has never quite seen yet. I think as founders, we absolutely have big visions for transforming the future of work. And yes, it starts with scheduling a meeting, but I think it ends with providing every single person their own scheduling assistant to help them manage their time.
Absolutely. And I love the fact that you can put in different email addresses. So if someone's company actually got this for them, for their work, they could also use the same thing for their personal life as well, the same schedule.
Yep.
That's very cool. Yep. And then the schedule will also learn about, you know, are you sure, have you got tennis this Sunday?
Yes. There are many times when people try to schedule meetings and Scheduler has to remind them, you are not free. they just laugh and they're like, you're right. Move the meeting. So
it's very cool. Well, thank you so much. I'm so happy I found Scheduler and I'm definitely recommending it to people. For anyone who wants to see how scheduler.ai can free up your time to schedule meetings in 4 hours a week or more, depending on how many meetings you have, if you go to www.scheduler.ai, you can find out more and you can reach out to Maddie and her team. Thank you so much for being on the show today. And I look forward to using Scheduler for many years with many more functions.
Thanks for listening to this episode of AI for Pharma Growth. If you have received huge value from this show, or maybe this episode has highlighted how you can use AI in your company, then we would love for you to support the show by leaving us a 5-star rating. Please make sure you hit the subscribe or follow button on your podcast app now to make sure you never miss an episode.